Back here at Oracle Park in the bunker, getting you ready for Giants and the Nationals, the final game before the All-Star break. Kerry Crowley with you here alongside Bill Lasky and Marty Lurie. It's my pleasure to welcome in our next guest, the host of the leadoff spot, Adam Copeland. You hear him just about every day on KNBR. Copes, what's going on this fine Sunday morning?
What up, Kerry? Will they ever lose again, man? Will they ever lose again?
It's the City Connect jerseys. It's got to be. City Connect magic, right?
It's funny how nice those look all of a sudden, dude. I was, like, real sketchy on those jerseys. I really wasn't having it. And then last couple of games, I was like, well, if you're never going to trail and you're going to have big offensive performances and you're going to grind the Nationals' bullpen into a pulp, into a fine pulp or a fine dust, then I'm all about it, Kerry.
Oh, I got to channel my inner Marty here with my first question for you, Copes. Brandon Crawford, explain. What's going on with this guy?
I thought you were going to say Brandon Crawford, he can hit, which would also have been a good way to start off with Marty. It's so funny, man. We go back maybe a month and a half, 2 months, and I think it was Andy Baggerly that had that great line that said, if you were to teleport somebody into a baseball stadium, into Oracle Park, who had never watched baseball before, and you told them to watch what's going on with the San Francisco Giants, they might believe that Brandon Crawford all around was the best player in all of baseball. He plays the most difficult position. He makes above-average defensive plays. He's hitting big home runs. He's smoking balls off the wall that aren't quite home runs or making big sacrifice flies or hitting balls that go out to the warning track. And Gabe Kapler talked about that yesterday. But it's what he does that's just so stoic to me that blows me away. Like, he makes that play, the double play on Friday night, the diving stop up the middle, the glove flip to the barehanded catch of Donovan Solano. And Brandon Crawford's got like a stone face on. And Logan Webb joked about that the other night. Then he steps up last night, hits a big home run, carries the offense. I mean, I don't know what else to say about this guy other than I'm really excited to see what happens in Denver. If they get an opportunity to put Crawford up at the plate with an opportunity to drive in like a go-ahead run or a game-winning run. You know, we saw this in the World Baseball Classic from him a couple of years ago. He's a clutch player. I'd love to see him up in some of the biggest moments and maybe make a fantastic defensive play on Tuesday. I'm just really excited that he's the Giants' representative in Colorado this week.
The list of players that you would want up at the plate in a clutch situation right now in the major leagues, ahead of Brandon Crawford, you could probably count on one hand. That's how good he has been. That's how important he has been to this Giants team, Copes. Kevin Gausman goes one final time before the All-Star break today. 1.68 ERA, second best in the majors, only to Jacob DeGrom. And he has been everything the Giants could have asked for and then some. The splitter is dirty. It's the best pitch in baseball. And Gausman, right now, is a bona fide ace.
Well, that's the best way to put it. Jacob DeGrom is certainly the best pitcher in baseball. He's doing things that we've virtually never seen. This version of Jacob DeGrom might be the best pitcher we've ever seen in baseball history, just based on what he's done in the first half of the season. Now, you got to put together two halves, and if your team goes to the postseason, it obviously has a bigger impact on the history of the game, I think, when we look back. But this is a guy who's won Cy Young Awards with like 10 wins, right? This is a guy who just doesn't get great amounts of support from his offense but continues to put up big numbers. You flip it over to Kevin Gausman and what he's been able to do. You talk about his split finger fastball being the best pitch in baseball. There's not really any dispute about that. It's funny, I start to think about other pitches in baseball history that might have been the best pitch in baseball. Johan Santana's changeup was phenomenal. The split change from Tim Lincecum at times was fantastic. The Randy Johnson wipe-away slider was another one. The Pedro Martinez changeup was at times the best. And then, of course, Mariano Rivera's cutter, maybe the best pitch in the history of baseball. When you can throw a pitch in just about any count, and hitters have to keep in the back of their mind that not only do I know this guy's going to throw it, but it's a good wipe-away pitch where there's a great chance I'm not going to make contact with this pitch, and you can throw it. It's almost like when Dave Roberts stole second base in 2004 in the ALCS, and everybody knew it was coming, but nobody can stop it. That's how it kind of is when Kevin Gausman's on the mound throwing that split finger. Guys know it's coming. Guys fall behind in the count. They have to lay off that pitch early in the count and late in the count, and oftentimes they end up swinging through it anyway. So to your point, anyway, just the way he's wrapped up this first half, he's got a 1.74 ERA cruising in today's game. It reminds me a lot of, and it may be 2016. I know people are talking 2016 about this team being the best team in baseball in the first half, but I think the 2016 first half ended against the Nationals as well. And I want to see Madison Bumgarner throw a complete game or close to a complete game, carried a no-hitter against Steven Strasburg on Sunday Night Baseball into the sixth inning. And so this sort of reminds me of that performance for Madison Bumgarner, where we've got Kevin Gausman getting ready to take the ball before the All-Star game. Jeez, I have no idea what's going on outside of my house either, Kerry. I got sirens, I got horns. I don't know what's going on. Anyway, Kevin Gausman, to wrap up the first half, reminds me of Bumgarner in 2016. I'm pretty excited about today's game.
Oh, absolutely, without question. One of the things that we've had a lot of fun with this morning, Marty, Bill, and I, talking trade possibilities, talking about what Farhan and Scott can do to upgrade this roster, or do they need to do anything to upgrade this roster before the July 30th trade deadline. In your mind, what would you like to see the Giants do between the All-Star break and the trade deadline to get them in gear for August, September, and the postseason?
Well, you asked me last week, and I think I said Matt Boyd of the Tigers was my guy. The left-handed pitcher, he could be a three, he could be a four, because after Johnny Cueto, despite what we saw from Logan Webb the other day, I don't have tons of faith in the Giants' rotation after Gausman, after DeSclafani, and then after Johnny Cueto. Sammy Long lands himself on the IL. Tyler Beede was not all that sharp in his first outing yesterday. Logan Webb looked really good, but because of the shoulder injury, I have concerns about his durability and his ability to stay healthy in the second half. And we saw sort of flashes of what Logan Webb could be in the first half, and I do think he's going to be a stable part of this rotation going forward. I just don't know how much you're going to be able to count on him for big innings in the second half, just based on the health of his arm. So I still really do think that pitching is what they need. Bullpen has been pretty fantastic. They're a top five bullpen in the National League, and I think a top five bullpen in all of baseball as far as batting average against, WHIP, and ERA are concerned. But when it comes to starting pitching, that's my bigger concern, is can they get somebody in who is a veteran, who maybe has some postseason experience, who can help you out in a four-game series? Who can be your game four starter? You know what I mean? You want to get into that division series here. You want to win the National League West. You don't want to have to send Kevin Gausman out there or DeSclafani out there in a wild card game. The Giants are looking pretty good as far as that second wild card spot right now, but it's going to be a whole lot of scoreboard watching in the second half, and there's going to be some teams that fall out of it. So I really do think that starting pitching has got to be the focal point for the Giants when they get closer to the deadline here.
Chatting with Adam Copeland here on Talkin' Baseball, previewing the Giants and the Nationals coming up at 105 here on KNBR. Copes, All-Star game at Coors Field this week. I was digging through the archives. 1998 All-Star game and Home Run Derby hosted at Coors Field. Mark McGwire, 510-foot tape measure shot. Does Shohei Ohtani pass that this weekend in Coors Field?
I think so, because I think in today's game, they're you know, the year that Bryce Harper won the Home Run Derby was what I think everybody said. They're not really playing with baseballs, are they? Like, they're playing with Super Bowls. Like, there's no way they're throwing baseballs out there and Harper's hitting them out like this. I think baseball knows what they're doing with this Home Run Derby. I think they get the right balls in there. 510 is a pretty big distance to catch. I don't know if Shohei Ohtani's going to hit one 510, but I wouldn't be surprised based on what we've seen this guy do. Basically, he's got plate coverage all over the place. He can hit him out the other way. He can hit him out to dead center. He can hit him when they're at the top of the zone. He can pull them out at 460 feet. We saw that the other day on an 88-mile-an-hour sinker. So is he going to do it? I don't know. Would I be surprised? Not even in the slightest, because this guy continues to do things that we've never seen before.
Absolutely. Giants and the Nationals coming up at 105 here, Copes. First half, what are the biggest surprises to you from this Giants team that's now 24 games over 500, trying to make it 25 today with Gausman on the mound? What stood out to you that maybe you didn't expect heading into this season?
You know, the starting pitching, like, I think that we saw flashes of the rotation. It's funny, I'm telling you that I think they need to probably bolster the rotation at the deadline. However, I think that we're seeing more success out of the starting rotation and even out of the bullpen than we anticipated coming in. I remember doing an interview with Dave Fleming back in, I don't know, maybe February or March, and he was saying, I'm just not confident enough in this rotation, that Logan Webb hasn't showed us enough. And the starting pitching has been phenomenal. I know that Johnny Cueto has been injured. We talked about Logan Webb being hurt. Sammy Long's come up. We've seen Scott Kazmir. Aaron Sanchez is around. They've used a whole bunch of different guys in the rotation. However, the two guys at the top, DeSclafani and Kevin Gausman, have been better than advertised. We knew how great Gausman was last year. He gets the qualifying offer, signs the deal to stay on for one more year. They bring in DeSclafani, who has been you don't want to call him he's not a journeyman, but he's not a guy who I don't think anybody anticipated was going to put up the numbers or lead the National League in wins with 10 going into the All-Star break. He's been fantastic. He and Julio Urias are two of the top pitchers in the National League, and they're both in the National League West and probably not getting the love they deserve. So for me, it's the starting pitching, because we saw what this offense could do through 60 games last season. They proved to us that they were a grinded-out team. They could put together good at-bats, and they could wait for their pitch and grind pitchers out of the game. But I did not anticipate anticipate that we were going to be looking at two guys who are legitimate Cy Young candidates, and really in Anthony Discofani, a guy who should probably be headed to Denver in his own right, a guy who probably should be an all-star after what we saw yesterday. So for me, it's the starting pitching, and while I do think they're going to need more of it to make a run, to me, that's the biggest surprise to this point.
Cope's a banner day for baseball. We've got the Futures game taking place at Coors Field. We've got the end of the first half. We've got aces on the mound and Brandon Woodruff in Milwaukee and Kevin Gausman here in San Francisco. And not to mention, it's the first round of the MLB draft, an event that was moved from June to July this year, 20 rounds. Does the draft in any way move the needle for you, a huge fan of baseball?
It's hard to get as hyped for it as you would for, like, the NBA draft or the NFL draft, obviously, because these guys, it's not Todd Van Poppel, right? Like, he's not getting drafted and going straight to the bigs, right? You're not gonna see this guy next year. So while there is a lot of excitement and anticipation, and it depends on who you get to, right? Like, when Buster Posey was drafted, people talked about that for a long time. Kim Lithicum, same thing. Golden Spice Award winner, people talked about that. Will Clark, back in the 80s, he was the number two overall pick. People were really excited about him being the next sort of face of San Francisco Giants baseball. So I think when your team is as good as the Giants are right now, you don't spend as much time thinking about the draft. I think that's probably how the front office wants it. Pay attention to what's going on the field right now. We've got a really good product. We've got some really good young players who are coming through the pipe right now. Pay attention to the Futures game. As you mentioned, Ramos and Luciano out there. It's going to be an exciting, I think, next few years for Giants baseball because of some of these prospects that are on their way. And I'm sort of tantalized by the idea of Farhan and Scott getting an opportunity to bring in some more really good young talent. Last year's draft was a little funky. So I don't know that I'll be dialed into it as far as, you know, hanging on every pick or waiting to see which guy gets selected. But once they're selected, I think we do a little dive into what the Giants' focus was or what their thought process was with some of these picks. And I think we'll find out that the Giants are pretty good at finding talent like we've seen with Farhan and Scott to this point.
Ah, great perspective. Adam Copeland, thank you so much for joining us throughout the first half here on Talking Baseball, and we will be chatting with you every weekend moving forward, sir.
Catch you later, Terry. Talk to you later, man.
All right. He is Adam Copeland, host of the Leadoff Spot, alongside Bill Lasky and Marty Lurie. I'm Kerry Crowley. More coming up on Talking Baseball next. We're going to talk to a few more guests, including Mark Sanchez, who's got a nice announcement for us as well coming up. So you're listening to KMBR 104.5 680, the sports leader.